Praise the Lord. I greet you all in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hopefully, you understand my English well. I had many, many travelings this year. If I count all the countries and cities I've been to, and somehow it was upon my heart to finally be with you, to share the precious and holy word of God with you, and testify of the things my eyes have seen and my ears have heard of what God has done and is doing right now. Many know what God did, but that is not enough. What God did connects us to what He's doing now, and what He's doing now connects us to what He's finally going to do to finish His work of salvation as He finished His work of creation. And beloved brothers and sisters, I will not be long, but we have to touch on a number of subjects, on a number of scriptures. If I see things right, not because I'm 80 and my time has come to only serve God's people through internet and by the grace of God, at the present time, we're serving God's people in 172 nations, just all over the earth. I personally had the privilege to visit 157 countries in the past 50 years. And as you know, the Lord called me with an audible voice, all penetrating, all commanding, as though He would say, "Let there be light," and there was light. And Brother Branham confirmed this, even repeating in the English language, word for word, what the Lord had spoken to me in the German language. And finally, Brother Branham said, "Wait with the giving out of the food until you get the rest of the food." We all understand that true children of God don't live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And beloved, I have one special request. If you don't have respect towards every word of God, please repent and ask God to forgive you. If you don't respect every word and leave every word where it is, how it is, and leave it to God to accomplish what the Lord promised. All of you who know a little of the ministry the Lord gave me, I was directly commanded, not only called, but with a tremendous, all-penetrating voice of the Lord, which came from up, but from the right. "My servant, your time for this city will soon be over. I will send you to other cities to preach my word. The next moment, I was on the carpet from the impact of that voice. Now, coming to our main subject, the return of our Lord, the promised return of our Lord. John 14, 1 to 3. I go to prepare the place, and then I will return and take you to be where I am. And please also remember that first God makes promises, and then he watches over his word to fulfill what he promised. And then faith is connected to obedience. To obedience. If you don't obey, you truly do not believe. Even Mark 16:16, they that believe and are baptized are saved, and those who don't, they are damned. So faith and obedience go together, as unbelief and disobedience go together. I read the sermon of Brother Branham, and you know, I knew Brother Branham personally for 10 years. I was in his meetings in Germany, in the USA, had tea in his home, drove in the same car, was just with him before the opening of the seven seals, when he asked me, Brother Frank, can you preach for me in Los Angeles with Demas Shikarian at the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship? And friends, I'd never been to Los Angeles before, but because Brother Branham told me that according to the vision the Lord showed him, he must pack. And in January 63, he moved to Tucson as he was shown in the vision. And that was when the supernatural cloud appeared. And he was told by the seventh angel in that pyramid, return to Jeffersonville for the opening of the seven seals. Because I followed Brother Branham since 1955 for 10 years, every sermon he preached in the USA was sent to me in Germany. And then I translated every sermon into the German language. So I should know. Because if you translate, you cannot skip a single line. You have to translate every line. So by the grace of God, I think I'm not exaggerating if I say I know the message of the hour, not only the messenger, and I know the scripture by divine revelation, and the one we are talking about, the one who saved us. I know him personally. In 1949, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And brothers and sisters, a divine call is not something that you make up. A divine call comes not by the will of man, but by the will of God. And as you remember what Brother Branham was told 80 years ago, on June the 11th, 1933, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, the message given to you will be the forerunner of the second coming of Christ. I even wrote one statement, word for word, into the leaflet of the Bible. And Brother Branham said, even emphasizing, I read the last part, which you might not know, so as you know the first part, not that I would be the forerunner, but the message would be the forerunner. 10th February 1960. And our beloved brothers, and I'm not criticizing, but they changed this. They changed this. They made Brother Branham to be the forerunner and not the message. And therefore, they come to the conclusion that all is finished, even to the teaching the Lord has come in 1963. Beloved, if the Lord comes, I go. As long as we are here on earth, he has not yet come. Because when he comes, he brings the saints with him, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive shall be changed, and together we shall be taken up in the clouds. In 1963, nobody was taken up, but the Lord revealed himself in that supernatural cloud. And I remember when Brother Branham was told, you know, the picture was like this. And then he was told to turn it to the right. And then he saw the face of our Lord in it. So, beloved brothers and sisters, we are living in the most important time in the history of mankind. And we're living in the most important time of the New Testament church. And finally, as also Brother Branham said a number of times, the bride will be called out of the church. There are always called and elect ones. So in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, seven times we have the message which the angel was addressed to give to that church. And then, whosoever has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Beloved, it is so important to stay in the Word of God. Also, to mention it, so I don't forget it, when Brother Branham spoke on the original sin, 11 times in a row, he repeated, first was unbelief. And even calls unbelief the original sin. Unbelief to what God had said to Adam. And the serpent came to put doubts and to entangle Eve into what God had said. And the final result was Cain. It was not only a talk. The Lord then had to say, with sorrow you will bear your children. Even the interpretation was a seed, and the seed was manifested in Cain. Don't receive any interpretation. Stay with the original word of God. Just as our Lord was the word manifested in flesh. How did it happen? The promise was given to Mary, and she believed the promise. And the moment she believed the promise, the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. And the Word was made flesh, and the Son of God was born. You're not born again because the wind blows. You need a seed. And this is what many don't understand. If you come to Christ, confess your sins, then your sins are forgiven. But you're not yet born again. For the new birth, you need the seed. And the seed is the Word of God. And then the Holy Spirit comes upon the Word. James chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Born again by the everlasting seed of the Word of God. So, beloved, I have to emphasize this. To believe the original Word of God. And not to be entangled into any discussion. What should I discuss about the Word of God? Why? Discuss about the Word of God? No. For what? Believe it, receive it, have it revealed by the Holy Spirit. You don't need more. But there are a number of scriptures I need to share with you. And please understand my responsibility before God. I don't need to speak again as I gave you my testimony years ago. But these eyes were even the last ones to see Brother Branham on April the 10th, 1966, in the coffin. I was there when the coffin was put into the ground. And friends, beloved brothers and sisters, that was the most dreadful day in my life. I could not sing, only believe. I could not sing with the multitude on the cemetery, on the wings of a snow-white dove. I just wept and wept and wept. And I was talking to the Lord. I said, "Dear Lord, please, how can the bride be prepared without this ministry?" I was torn to pieces. I was actually speaking to the Lord, but saying, why has this happened? But then, the same day, April the 11th, 1966, when I returned from the funeral, not a voice this time, but it spoke in my heart, "Now your time has come to go from city to city, from country to country, to preach the word and to share the spiritual food." And this is how it began. And brothers and sisters, in April 1966, not a single sermon of Brother Branham was printed. Not a single one. It was Brother Frank who called the brothers together in Jeffersonville after the funeral and said, "We need the sermons in print because we must translate them into other languages." So that is actually how the message began to be spread all over the earth. But now coming to our main subject about the return of Christ. Beloved, I have to read a few scriptures which go very deeply. They're not on the surface. They hit home, and especially for those who believe the Lord has come in a spiritual way. In the spiritual way, he came on the day of Pentecost to live in us by the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 9 to 11, the same Jesus that was taken from you into heaven will come in the same way as you have seen him going up into heaven. And you go to Luke chapter 24, verse 50 and 51. The Lord raised his hands, blessed his disciples, and before their eyes a cloud took him to glory. And then, in reference to the return of our Lord, I read from 2 John, it's only one chapter, 2 John, verse 7. For many deceivers are gone into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ cometh in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Anyone who spiritualizes the return of our Lord is under the influence of the antichrist. And it must be emphasized, I have a responsibility before God. How was our Lord taken to glory? In the body. The body, the natural body, the body that died, was put in the grave. But our Lord rose. Our Lord rose because immortality had set in, but still in a body. After the resurrection, John chapter 21, our Lord was eating with his disciples in the resurrected body. So, beloved, don't spiritualize the return of Christ. Believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ personally will return, and all the saints of the Old Testament that rose with him according to Matthew chapter 27. He will bring with him. And then the dead in Christ shall rise, and we who live in Christ shall be changed, and together we shall be with the Lord. Now, Matthew chapter 25. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. This is the last message. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And what is the result? The result is in verse 10. And they that were ready went into the marriage, and the door was closed. And then the others came and were knocking at the door. Some believe the rapture has taken place. Some believe the marriage supper is over. Some believe we're in the millennium. Beloved brothers and sisters, I'm not judging, but I feel so hurt in my heart because God's people are misled. God's people are deceived. The time has come to check everything with the Word of God. And this is also a point, beloved. Many, many of the end time preachers, they just refer to Brother Branham. The prophet said, the prophet said. Why don't you take what the prophet said into the Word of God? And let God say what was to be said. as I told you before, I'm acquainted with all he said, even what he said about seven thunders. On March the 24th, 1963, he knocked seven times on the pulpit and said the seven thunders were so great, and there is rapturing faith in the seven thunders and a number of other things. What happened? When the supernatural cloud came down, there was a tremendous earthquake accompanied with seven thunderclaps. And Brother Branham said, the trees were chopped and the stones were rolling down the mountains. And Brother Perry Green took us there. These eyes have slain the rocks that were rolling down the mountains. They were all laying there. But the brothers don't go to the details. They don't go into the connection. The prophet spoke things. They just built upon one statement, and then they have the fantasy ready to be used. No, not with me. Not with me. God is only in his word. And William Branham was a word prophet. And if you misunderstand what he said, please don't blame God. Don't blame God. But make the word of God to be true and every interpretation a lie. God is in his word and Satan is in every interpretation as it was in the Garden of Eden. And so we have to understand by the grace of God even about seven thunders. One says this, one says that. Even now, there's an email in my office. One brother came into a monthly meeting and said, well, I'm the fifth of the seven angels or seven trumpets and seven thunders. And then, of course, the brother said, where are the other two? Forget it. Just don't be at all occupied with the wrong teaching. Please not. And I mean it. And God means it. And I know you believe it. In Hebrews chapter 10, it shows that we can only be sanctified in the truth. And the word of God is the truth. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected forever those that are sanctified. By one offering, by one sacrifice, he has sanctified all. Beloved brothers and sisters, without sanctification, no one will see the Lord. I have to emphasize it. Whether you understand it at this moment or not, I must emphasize that heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God remains forever. And especially when it comes to the seven thunder doctrine, it's a number of years. It was in 1982. In 1982, when I was preaching in France, in the harbor city of Marseille, and a group of brethren from Armenia. How many knows where Armenia is? Where the mountain Ararat is, where the boat of Noah came down. I preached there, and these brothers came, and for the first time, I was asked the question, could you tell us about the seven thunders? I just had to say, I don't know. And good night. I went to the first floor and went to bed. I still have the same watch today that I had in 1982, in March 1982. And when this tremendous experience was over, I looked at this watch, 5 to 5 in the morning. So on that evening, the brothers were asking, the next morning, as you hear my voice, my servant, rise and read 2 Timothy 4. And you can imagine what I did. I rose. I read 2 Timothy 4 from verse 1 to 5. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead. And then in verse 2, preach the word. It be in time or out of time, reprove, rebuke, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The sound doctrine is in the Word of God. And every doctrine that cannot be preached from the Word of God is not a sound doctrine. Please stay till the end of the service. If you receive a direct command to read, then you have to understand there is something connected to it. And just after I started to read from verse 1, coming to verse 2, I put my Bible down and my hands went into the air. And I said, Dear Lord, as certain as you commanded me to read the scripture, what the seven thunders uttered is not written, has not become part of the word of God that I was to preach. And therefore, nobody ever will preach the seven thunders. That is, thus says the Lord, a divine commission, a divine commission. Now you can understand why these brothers hate me. Yeah, they hate me. Yeah, they hate me. No, there's no need for hatred. If you have the love of God, the love to the Word of God, you respect the Word of God. And then I also read on in Revelation chapter 1. You know the three first verses. And it says here in verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it. Who told you to read what's not written? Who told you? Who? And keep those things which are written in it. Who has a right to add to the word of God? Who? Such a person is not on earth, maybe in hell. Revelation 22. Whosoever shall add or take away from the words of the prophecy of this book, why don't you respect what the voice from heaven said? Seal up what the seven thunders uttered and write it not. Why don't you respect it? Why? Why? There's something in you that does not agree with the word of God. But I wish to know from you that you do agree. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let every man be a liar and God's word be true. If the Lord guides you in such a way, then it's time to give ear to what the Spirit has to say unto the churches. Leave it with God. And as I said, before the opening of the seven seals, this mighty earthquake accompanied by seven thunderclaps. And therefore, Brother Branham spoke a number of times about it. But here you see, Brother Branham always spoke in the plural, never in the singular. Only when he read Revelation 10, verse 7, he read it in the singular because it's in the singular. The mystery of God will be finished. Who is the mystery of God? Jesus Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And the Jews did not receive him. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But then, when he comes as the angel of the covenant, there's not one scripture putting our Lord as the angel of the covenant in connection with the New Testament church. Not one. And I can take it to Jeremiah 25, to Hosea 11. I can take it to all the scriptures, to Joel chapter 3, and showing to you when it is going to take place, when the Lord, as the angel of the covenant, comes down with the open book, and puts one foot on land and one on sea. And that will be the moment when this scripture will be fulfilled. And I can show you from Daniel chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, that from that moment, there will only be 3.5 years to the consummation. Why don't you read all the scriptures pertaining to the same subject? The moment the angels were, should I read it to you from Daniel chapter 12? You can read it in peace at home, knowing where to place this. And it's always in the right connection. It says here in Daniel chapter 12, he lifted up his hand, swearing by him that lives forever, it shall be for a time, times, and a dividing of time. Beloved, this is what the Lord is holding me responsible for. To not only make statements, but to go to 1, 2, 3, to a number of scriptures speaking of the same event. And then when you have 2, 3 witnesses from the Old and the New Testament, you know it is so. But now, coming again to the subject of the return of Christ, the message will forerun the second coming of Christ. Did you count how many times Brother Branham said, the message of the hour is to return to the Word of God, is to return to the apostolic teachings, to come back to the original foundation? What did Elijah do? He took the 12 stones, rebuilt the altar, put the sacrifice and then the water upon the sacrifice, and then he prayed. And then God answered. And you only need to read 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 37. And the Lord turned their hearts back again to him. The Lord turned the hearts, not the heads. He turns the hearts. If you go to Luke chapter 1, he will turn the hearts. If you go to Malachi 4, he will turn the hearts back. He will turn the hearts back. And then especially, if you go to Matthew 17, when this great event took place, the supernatural cloud came down, our Lord was glorified, and you know what happened? When they came down from the mountain, The disciples were asking our Lord, why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? I'm glad for this question. I'm absolutely glad for this question. And in verse 11, our Lord said, truly, Elijah shall first come and restore. There the word restore. You'll find the word restore and shall restore all things. And then in verse 12, when he spoke about the ministry of John the Baptist, Elijah has already come and has had his ministry. Both is true. The promise for the future that before the great day of the Lord comes, God will send a prophet in the last moments of the time of grace. And he was connected in his ministry, connected to one special and final goal. To give the last call. Everyone must come out from every denomination, from all teachings in the denominations. For now we have 349 denominations joined in the World Council of Churches, and all go by the Nicene Creed. But the Nicene Creed is not in the Bible. It's in the Catechism, not in the Bible. And if it's not in the Bible, it's not biblical. Only what you find in the Bible is biblical. What you find in the Scripture is scriptural. And everything else is not. So by the grace of God, we don't believe any Nicene Creed. We don't split God in three persons. No. It's one God manifesting himself for our salvation as Father in heaven and his only begotten Son on earth to place us back as sons and daughters of God into our original position, according to Galatians chapter 4, and in the church by the Holy Spirit. God above us, God with us, God in us. In one New Testament covenant name, thou shalt call his name Yahshua. Yahshua is a Hebrew name. Yahweh was a name in the Old Testament, 5,657 times in the Hebrew Bible. In the New Testament, Yahweh became our Savior, because Shua means to save, to save. So the Yahweh, the I Am of the Old Testament, came to us. He was born into a body of flesh. Because the original sin had happened in the body of flesh and blood, our Lord and Savior had to come into a body of flesh and blood to pay the price, to take our sins, and to give us redemption and the forgiveness of our sins. So we understand the name in which God revealed himself is the Lord Jesus Christ. So every person from the day of Pentecost was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And please, don't take time to think. This is time to believe. Time to believe. Today, when you hear his voice, make your decision. God is right. His word is right. Make your decision. You thought long enough. Now the time has come. And beloved, we see it everywhere, that the return of our Lord is absolutely imminent. It is, as he said in Luke chapter 21, when you see all these things come to pass, then you know it's near, even at the door. And then our Lord said, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. And then making this statement, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And then make the statement, this generation shall not pass until all things be fulfilled. We cannot go into all these details, but everyone who is going to Jerusalem, I was there 24 or 25 times. Now the Mount Zion, the most holy place, is given to the Roman Catholic Church for the Franciscan order. How many times did we sing there for the Holy Spirit to come down? And now, in the 21 points negotiating between the Vatican and Jerusalem, that was the last point. And finally, Israel agreed to give a room on the most high place on the Mount Zion, where our Lord had the Lord's Supper, where the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place. And when I read the statement from the internet, I just wrote beneath, only for a very short time. For the time will be as soon as the New Testament bride is complete, the last one is being called out, the door will close. And then God will turn to Israel. There are many, many scriptures speaking about Israel. And we do love God's people. He chose the land, He chose the people, and God will finish with Israel as sure as He began with Israel. In between is the church of the New Testament. So, beloved, let us summarize what we try to say here today in the name of the Lord. We are living in a special period of time, just before the return, promised return of our Lord and Savior. Just at the time when the last call, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Before you can go in, you must come out. If you don't come out, you cannot go in. And therefore, ye, my people, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Then I will receive you. And you know what? The wise virgins were not discussing about any subject. They were filling their vessels with oil, with the Holy Spirit. They had the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And beloved, not only that, but they had the extra oil with them to refill. So there is a bride, and the bride are the wise virgins getting ready, not anywhere entangled into this or that, but in the Word of God, believing every promise, every word of God, and preparing for that great and wonderful day of the return of our Lord. And also, beloved brothers and sisters, only if you respect the Word of God, and only if you don't separate message from the Word, if you leave the message to be the Word and the Word to be the message, then you don't have two different things. You have one thing. That's the true Word of Almighty God revealed through the ministry of Brother Branham. And we all know he was the promised prophet for our day, to bring a message for the calling out and the preparation of the bride of Christ. In his days, Brother Branham visited exactly 15 countries, preached in 12 different countries. But now, since he was taken to be with the Lord, as I told you before, the true word of God, the message of the hour, is reaching the ends of the earth. There has been no time like this where Matthew 24:14 could be fulfilled as it is now. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations, and then the end will be for some as a witness, but for the true elect as a last call, ye my people, come out and be obedient to the word of God. So we respect the ministry of Brother Branham, and I think that I can say this with a good conscience. There is no man living on earth who does appreciate Brother Branham more than I do. And if you wish, I can tell you, supernatural experiences don't come because you think about it. They come in the providence of Almighty God. I, Brother Frank, saw William Branham going up on a cloud on December the 24th, 1965, European time, just before 11 p.m. And if you take the North American time, precisely the moment. Did I ask for it? Did I have knowledge of an accident he had? No, I had not. But God knows all things, and therefore he had to show me. He had to show me. So to give a little more assurance for the ministry, he had ordained me to take to the ends of the earth. So we appreciate knowing the New Testament began with the fulfillment of the promise, Malachi 3. Behold, I send my messenger. Who spoke? The Lord God. The Lord God spoke. Behold, I send my messenger. And then our Lord testified in Matthew chapter 11 about the ministry of John the Baptist, saying he was the one spoken by the prophet. And beloved, through his ministry, the people of God were prepared. In Matthew chapter 10, he could say, I baptize you with water. He that comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and power and fire. And so, who were the 3,000 on the day of Pentecost? Who were they? From where did they come? When John, by the Holy Spirit, said, giving the promise, I baptize you in water, but he that comes after me, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. They had to be there where the promise was fulfilled. And beloved brothers and sisters, you must believe the promise of God, and you must have part in the fulfillment thereof. Everything else is a theory. So, and please also watch this. John the Baptist was no more on earth when our Lord and Savior died at the cross. Why should Brother Branham be on earth when the Lord will take us home? Respect what God is doing. Well, can you do it better? Have you any better suggestions than what God has done? Please respect the word, respect the ways of God, respect what God is doing. And let me say this also in love as it comes to me now. Only to speak about the prophet and writing books. One book has 343 photos. 343 photos. There are so many stories, books full of stories, books full of stories. Looking back, and I tell you today, if you truly understand the purpose of the message God sent, you will not look back. You will have part in what God is doing right now. And this is what the brethren don't understand. They simply don't understand. But God has his way. And let me emphasize again, William Branham, the greatest prophet, no one, no Paul, no John, no apostle had that ministry, just as our Lord. And I saw it. I was in the meetings evening after evening when Brother Branham was used of the Lord. And when he could say, the pillar of fire is now, the light is now over this person. I told you before, when he came to Germany, not speaking a word of the German language, but the Lord showed him who the person is, the name, the city they came from, and also the illness or whatever they had. I saw it. I was there. I could hardly keep my seat. I was moving forward every time under such a tension, because before 8 or 9 or 10,000 people in all the services, God used him. But William Branham is William Branham. His daddy's name is Charles, and his mother's name is Ella. If somebody makes him the Word manifest in flesh, brother, you're wrong. Jesus Christ is the Word manifested in the flesh. And we shall give no glory to any man. I like it sometimes, and sometimes I don't like it too much. When Brother Branham speaks about his daddy, how he drank, and speaks about his family, and speaks about circumstances that you might never have heard of, just showing, and then finally saying, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Of course, but a man sent from God, with the message of God to the people of God, and all who have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. But I hope you understand this. My heart is broken because of the many divisions, of the many directions. As you know, I came back from South America. Ties, neckties, with slogan of William Branham. T-shirts with slogans of William Branham. Coffee cups with a picture, with a photo of William Branham. It's absolutely impossible. Impossible. No, there's no spirit of idolatry in us. In us is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And therefore, we respect God and the call he has given and the ministry, which is the greatest ministry after the days of our Lord. How many times did Brother Branham refer to Genesis 18? When the Lord had his back turned to the fire, to the tent, and Sarah laughed within herself, and the Lord looking into Abraham's face and saying, why did Sarah laugh? Please, brothers, count the many times Brother Branham referred to Genesis 18. And then making this statement, the same is repeating now here through this ministry. How many times did he refer to John chapter 1? When Nathanael came to the Lord, and the Lord said, before Philip called you, I've seen you under the tree. How many times did he mention the Apostle Peter? Thy name is Simon, thy father's name is Jonas. When he told the woman at the well what she had done, the same ministry, these eyes have seen, these ears have heard. I'm an eyewitness, I'm an ear witness. But the Lord Jesus Christ remains the Lord Jesus Christ. And the prophet remains a prophet. So we understand the Spirit of truth will always be with the Word of truth. And please, please take it seriously. Because it might be the last time that you hear these words of admonition, of actually challenging you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let every man who teaches something point you to the Scriptures. If he says it's a revelation, forget it. Every revelation God gives comes by the Word of God and is testified in the Word of God. Anybody can say, I have the revelation. Like the brothers told me, we're already raptured. And the rapture is a revelation. The rapture will be a reality. Everything God promised is connected to reality. So, beloved, I don't need to say much more. I love you. And as I said at the beginning, looking back to the 50 years in the ministry, I just said, dear Lord, Moses began when he was 80, and maybe I have to finish when I'm 80. God has given mercy, traveling mercies, from one end to the earth. If you go like I've been just now to Australia and to China and Mongolia, you go 8 hours gaining time. If you go to South America, you lose 6 or 7 hours, and you just go from continent to continent. It's not so easy for me. But it was just upon my heart. One more time to be with you, to share with you in all honesty, in all respect, the Word of God, and also, as I told you, about the true call the Lord has given me for the ministry to take this Word of God to the ends of the earth. And as I said before, now we have 172 groups and churches joining us to hear the messages preached on every first weekend by the grace of God. So, beloved, I wish to see you again. If it's not here, at the moment I don't think it will be here. Only God knows. But I wish for every one of you to be ready for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And please remember, the return of Christ will be a reality as his first coming was. Revelation 10 will be a reality. Everything God promised in his word will be a reality. So please, don't listen to any interpretation. Listen to the Word of God. Let me finally say, I appreciated Brother Sidney Jackson in a very, very special way. And it was in this city, Pretoria, might have been in 1971, in a big auditorium, when he stood up and said, Brother Frank, I believe you to be an apostle of Jesus Christ to bring this message unto us. And to verify what he said, you know what Brother Sidney Jackson did? He had the big zebra skin where Brother Branham had his last prayer in your country. It was just before going into his living room. And he said, "Brother Frank, that you might know that I mean what I said, please pack this zebra skin, and it's a present from me. Take it back with you in Germany." And I have that zebra skin in my living room. It's still hanging there. So we were old friends. He was in Germany, and we were just friends for years. And I come back to share the same word of God, the same message with you. One final statement. When I dedicated my life after the departure of Brother Branham, I made a vow with many tears before the Lord. I said, "Dear Lord, I will be obedient to the call and commission you gave to me. But please, please be with me and keep me in your word and will." Then I made two more statements. I said, "Dear Lord, please provide everything I need for the work you're calling me to do, because I will never mention money in my life, and I will never take an offering." So I said, "Lord, take care of me, take care of your work." And beloved, up to this day, I never took an offering. I never begged for money. I trusted the Lord, and I can help various brothers in very, very poor countries. I don't tell you how many, but there are many. So God has blessed me. But there was one final thing. With many tears, I said, "Dear Lord, I have one special request, that would you please grant it to me, that all who hear and will hear your word from my lips and believe it, that I will see them in glory." Amen. That I will see them in glory. Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of God revealed? Isaiah 53. So, beloved, if you can believe that God has sent a messenger and left us the message, the calling out time, preparation time, dedication time, if you believe all this, say amen. Then let us stand for a word of prayer. And before we pray, I would like to ask you to bow your heads and pray. And we shall pray for those who are here, maybe for the first time, who never heard about what God has done in our time. Maybe there are some who have heard what God has done in the ministry of Brother Branham. And maybe there are some who are here for the first time, even to listen to a preaching like this. Please receive it. It's your day, the day the Lord has made for you. Don't think, believe. Believe and obey. Let God give you the respect towards His word. If my words abide in you, what did our Lord say? If you don't believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Sin is unbelief. So please believe with all your heart. The promise for this day, become a child of promise. For this you need to read. Galatians chapter 3, Galatians chapter 4, and very especially verse 23 and 28, where the Apostle Paul refers to Abraham and to Isaac, that Isaac was born according to the promise. And then making the statement, ye brethren, are as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Beloved, take it seriously. The children of promise believe the word of promise, and they receive the spirit of promise after they heard the word of truth. Ephesians 1:13 and 4:30. Beloved, hear what I say now in the name of the Lord. There cannot be a sealing by the Holy Spirit of truth if error, if interpretations are in your heart. It's impossible for God to be found in a lie. It's impossible for God to be found in the interpretations. God is only in His holy word. And if His word is in you, He seals you by the Holy Spirit of truth, because you have received the word of truth. There will be no sealing with those who are caught up in all the wrong teaching. It's impossible. You cannot put light and darkness together. You cannot put Christ in Belial. No, never. Word is word. Interpretation is interpretation. Truth is truth. And everything else is a lie. So don't play. Take it seriously. I've said this in the name of the Lord. Because we are to be sealed unto the day of our bodily redemption. If the sealing has not taken place, the body cannot be changed. So if the Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, if that Holy Spirit is in you, and the Word of God, with all the promises contained therein, is in you, there's not one word where you have something that you could not receive. Believe every word of God and have it revealed by the Holy Spirit. And now, for those who believe, please come out and don't support anyone who is coming with teachings which are not found in the Word of God. Please be separate, not only from denominations and their inherited teachings, but from all wrong teachings that are going on. Be sanctified in the truth and be sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of our bodily redemption. Be dedicated to remain under the blood of the new covenant, under the blood of the Lamb that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Make your redemption sure. And may the will of God be done in your life, in my life. And finally, may we all call Maranatha. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. For the scripture is going to be fulfilled very soon. Revelation 19, verse 7. And his bride and his wife has made herself ready. Just as it is in the natural, if there's a marriage announced, only the bride prepares. All the other ladies continue as they are. But the bride has a promise, and she is waiting, yearning to see the day of marriage. So it is now. All churches will continue in their own ways, but the bride of Christ will hear the promised word. The bride will receive the promise of the bridegroom. Believe and prepare. And when the moment comes, we shall go into the marriage with our dear Lord and Savior, our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. Be blessed with the blessings of Almighty God. Stay in the Word of God and in the will of God. You can only be in the will of God if you're in the Word of God. And only if you're in the Word of God, you're in the will of God. Beloved, I feel the presence of God. Something great is happening right now. Decisions are being made. The Holy Spirit is in this place. Hallelujah! Receive divine revelation by the Holy Spirit according to the Word of God. And be prepared for the return of our Lord and Savior, the bridegroom. Hallelujah. And everybody says, Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. I wish to thank you for coming. You will never know how much I appreciate for all of you.